Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wednesday double boom. Respectful. Live on a Wednesday night. Appreciate you hanging out with us. The Starter Hammond text line is 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of what we're doing? You can, and you should. Please, you know, I have to keep reminding folks, download the Ticket app so we go wherever you go. It doesn't matter what your device is, phone, car, or otherwise, have the Ticket app so that we can go with you, and you don't have to worry about, oh, my goodness, the Royals are on the brick and mortar. What do we do? Just hit the Ticket app. It's on your phone. It's on your laptop. It's everywhere you want to be. Harrison, it's constant.
It's essential. We even had someone come in for pictures the other day, and they're talking about the app's nice to have because he's not the biggest MLB guy, so he appreciates the Ticket app being able to tune in. And especially right now for the Royals, unless they've picked it up as late, I don't think their playoff chances are super great.
They really are building this on Bobby Witt Jr. and Jace Caglione bringing people to the party. But it's that time, right? It's from playoff to not playoff is tough. Mm-hmm. But we will carry through it. And of course, you know, July means we're a few weeks from Hall of Fame game in the NFL and NFL preseason. The Ticket will be all over it. And then, of course, a full season of NFL football here on the Ticket. Thursday night, all the Thursday night games, both daytime and afternoon NFL games, the games of the week. We'll have the Sunday night games and the Monday night games. Plus, we killed it on the college football game day. Of course, we focus on the Huskers pre and post game. But we have a collection of live college games this year. Nice.
I love it. I love being able to drive around. Because nice. Even after work, heading home, I still get to hear the NFL games. Nice. It's phenomenal.
Nice. We have a special guest, and it's always a good time when the head coach of Huskers Tennis shows up, Peter Cobalt. Coach, what's happening with you?
DP, how we doing? Everything's good.
Can I say how impressed it Harrison, I get a little notice on Facebook, and it says Peter Cobalt just posted, and he and his lady look like the cover of every magazine you and I would never get on. Like it was beyond that. It was like super. Like if he was British, I would have went okay. Like he looked like he was going to the princess wedding. Like that's what it looked like, and I just went, would you look at this model-looking dude? Yeah, coach, what are we doing? You're setting a tough standard. First of all, look, we're not all giants. Like, we don't all have the perfect build. We're not like, come on, you're making it tough for the rest of us.
Well, I'm definitely out kicking my cupboard. That's for sure. I don't know what it is, but you know, we met about a year and 4 or 5 months ago. At a yoga class just down the street at Fly Fitness. So we kind of met organically, which isn't super common these days, but yeah, she's amazing. So, she's tall. She's 6'1". She played volleyball at Peru State. She's an athlete. She loves the workout. She's got two dogs. So The two dogs keep us busy. Golden retrievers.
Best dogs.
Yeah, those are dog dogs.
Uh-huh.
Those are dog dogs. Well, if you ever need a puppy sitter,
there we go. Yeah, we're always looking for dogs.
You ever need a puppy sitter, just bring them down here.
Just bring them
to the station, a bag of food and a squeezy toy, and we will cover them for the next few hours.
You'll be able to handle one of them. I'm not sure about the little puppy.
I'm the puppy whisperer.
Are you?
I am the puppy. Listen,
okay. Well,
that puppy comes back. It's going to be different.
Well, we might need to take some notes from you then too.
After
the show tonight.
Yeah, Becky and I were, you know, we spent a lot of time fostering dogs across the country, and whether we were in Virginia or Texas, the only place we ever fostered was here, just because we were on acres in the other places, and it just made more sense to have the animals. And sure, I just feel bad living in the Haymarket. Of course, my neighbor has a gigantic dog, and it makes me feel bad every morning. But then I want a dog 300 days of the year. There are those other 65 days when it is over 100 and under 15.
Yeah,
that I am grateful.
Right. True.
You know, it's like, oh, it's snowing and it's 0 degrees. I don't have to get up and take a dog outside to go to the bathroom. And
exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, we figured that out. What's going on? You have had quite the journey, and we've been talking about recruiting, and then I get the notice that you guys have had it somebody to the program. Another international.
Yep, another international. So he technically committed, and then we were waiting for some of his. You got to get the transcripts. Mm-hmm. You got to get them translated. You got to get them from his. You know how each country does it takes a second, and then there's a bunch of other things you have to do in order for them to officially sign. So, mm-hmm.
Well, I know you're limited in what you can say, but I wanted to ask about the process.
Yeah, no, it's a it's a process getting them to verbally commit, and then it's another whole thing. Getting all their paperwork in the States is pretty easy because, you know, you don't have to translate anything. The high school system's pretty easy to navigate, but each country has its own, you know, sometimes the kids graduate when they're 17 years old. Sometimes they graduate when they're 18 years old. Sometimes they graduate when they're 19 years old. So you kind of have to sit down with the compliance office and the NCAA, tutorial, and you have to like go through everything, and it all just takes time. You know, we've done it a handful of times now, but it can be complex, and this last one was a little bit more complex. So it's finally good to get him signed. Then we got to get his visa. There's a whole host of stuff, and then with everything going on, the appointments haven't been super easy to get for some of the countries overseas. So you kind of hold your breath a little bit, but luckily I think we're in a good position with all three of the guys coming in. We're waiting on a commitment potentially tomorrow. So we'll see about that one. We really like the recruit that may commit tomorrow, but we'll have to get back on the show next week to find the answer out about that. But
absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, that's how it's kind of going right now. Other than that, it's a relatively slow alt. You know, we don't really have anyone in town. None of our players are here right now. They're all either playing or they're back home overseas. So gives me a chance to hang out with the lady and the dogs a little bit more, which is kind of nice.
Hanging out of the ticket. And I keep, it's funny too. I was talking, to Austin Orman about it, and it was, I grew up especially watching the majors.
Yep.
It was so ingrained in, if you were a sports fan. Look, Sunday morning, Wimbledon, Saturday, these weekends, especially this weekend, was so prominent. And I'm old enough to have watched Arthur Ashe, Rod Laver, Ilie Nastase, baby Connors, and young McEnroe.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To watch Billie Jean King, Margaret Court, the evolution of the game, the Ice Princess, you know, Christy coming through, Martina, absolutely changing the game, and you watched it, and then all the pageantry of Wimbledon. Have we lost some of that now?
I don't think so. Not with Wimbledon. Wimbledon's still this timeless event. You know, you still go there, and I was there last year, and it's just remarkable. I would say the most comparable sporting event would be Augusta National for golf. But you go there, and all the You know, the flowers are perfect. Everything's upkept. There's no weeds. There's no dirt. It's everything's pristine. You know, you go there, nothing's expensive either.
It's amazing.
They don't upcharge you, kind of like what they do at Augusta. It's so you kind of go there, and it gives you this old school feeling, and it's just beautiful. You know, you get off the tube in London, and you kind of walk through Wimbledon Village, and it's just, you know, it's the best sporting event in the world. That, you know, outside, if you're not in the tennis world, you don't really know about it, but it's honestly remarkable. And if anyone ever has a chance to go, like, it's just one of those sporting events that you really have to go see because it's that special.
Well, the community of it, the village,
oh yeah,
mm-hmm. is probably underrated because we always think of center court. We think of that pageantry. But the first time you walk through, and there is you're right in that it's special. It's unique because you feel the ghost of that place.
100%.
Yeah. Right? Like you have to stop. There's several places on the tour. We, you know, did the tour and you just stop.
Sure.
And you consume. And when they show you the outfits, the previous uniforms worn, the tennis, the evolution of tennis rackets, tennis shoes, and then the people. And you're right. The fact that they haven't priced it to the moon.
Yep. Everything's reasonable. You know, what's also cool is in Wimbledon Village, you have all the players usually renting out a someone's house there. So, and the way it works is you go, you know, there's Queens a week and a half before Wimbledon starts. So a lot of these guys will rent a house in Wimbledon Village because Queens isn't too far away. And then they'll just commute and they'll live in a house there in Wimbledon Village for like a month. Which is cool. The players really enjoy it because they're not in a hotel, and that's how the tour works. You're in a hotel every week in a new place, so you get to be in a house, and a lot of them travel with their families and stuff, so it's nice for them to kind of feel normal somewhat from, you know, away from your house. But yeah, the all whites, the pristine grass, you know, it's just, you go there and it's just different. I don't know. It's just different.
Would you ever think for the Huskers for a particular matchup, just going all whites?
We have an all white uniform. Yeah, we can do that for sure.
Like a Wimbledon tribute, and have your guys. I mean, the weather's interesting. You could do like the half sweater vest.
Yep. No, I don't know. I think college tennis is a little more rambunctious than the Wimbledon semifinals. But
oh, that would be. I could just see Ken Rosewall in his little sweater vest, and it seemed to me like it just made it more majestic.
Yep.
You know, and to go through that. I've asked you that before about the men, but for the women, that Mount Rushmore, go through it again for me, because this is when it becomes a little bit more, there's a little bit more clarity to it.
Sure. So I think I had, I put Serena there. I think I put Navratilova there. What were my other two? I think maybe I put Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. And then. I think I looked at the results, and I think Margaret Court would have had to been the other one that's won the most Grand Slams, I believe. So I'm a big tennis is one of those sports where you know kind of who the best player is in these team sports. You know, there's so many different factors, but in tennis, it's literally just you playing. And if Serena wants to win Wimbledon, she has to go out and win Wimbledon, not her coach, not a substitute, not, you know, whether she's feeling good or not that day. Like, she has to go and figure it out, you know, over a course of 2 weeks with, you know, a lot of things can happen and go on. So I don't know. I'd probably say those are the my top four. I don't know if there's anyone playing on the women's side this, like today, that's at that level. I think for the women's side, there's a little more variability than the men's side. I think the guard is starting to switch on the men's side. Djokovic is kind of the last
he's holding on. He's
the last fighting. The last soldier here.
Yeah.
But he's in the semifinals, and the, you know, for me, Wimbledon and Roland Garros, one other thing I love about both of them. As a kid, like, I didn't like getting up early in the morning, but but you know, you wake up at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, you flip on ESPN or one of these channels, and you can just watch tennis. Like, you just sit there, and I'll just stare at the screen. And even now, like, it's you wake up, it's fun, you know, not everyone's watching. So ESPN, you get the ESPN coverage, you know, a lot of these other sports get the main TV coverage, but who's watching TV at 7 in the morning? So you just they put on Wimbledon, and boom, you get to see amazing television first thing in the morning.
It's always interesting that, especially in the majors, and I have a problem because I like the style of play at the Aussie Open.
Yeah.
But it's just the time is so weird, and you're always playing catch up to what the process is. And then for anybody who hasn't been to the U.S. Open, that is such a unique freak show of human culture.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like that one, the space, but being in New York City, and there's a different level of celebrity and culture.
Yep.
How would you describe the difference between U.S. Open and Wimbledon?
They upcharge you with foods.
It's New York City. New York City's not gonna play with your wallet, man.
They're But I would say it's a different place. It's the jungle. It's New York City. You take the train. You take the 7 from Manhattan straight up into right up. You get off right before Mets Field there in Queens.
Yep.
And you hop off the train and you walk in, and it's a zoo. There's people everywhere. There's people everywhere. Everything's expensive, but it's a really unique event. I would say you don't get as much up close attention to like some of the bigger players. You do and you don't, but it's a really cool event. Obviously, if you're in New York, you get to go you go over the weekend. There's a long weekend. I think it's Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So you go over Labor Day weekend, and you spend couple days in New York City. You check out the U.S. Open. You get some tickets into Arthur Ashe Stadium, one of the coolest stadiums. It's the largest stadium in tennis. So, but yeah, it's a really cool event. I actually played the U.S. Open 2014. I played the doubles in the main draw there, which was really cool for me. All my friends and family came out to the match and stuff. We ended up losing. We got a tough draw. We played the eight seeds. They're the eighth best team in the world. So. Yeah, I wasn't too picky, but it was a really cool experience.
How'd you qualify for that? How what's the process?
So I lost. We got the college wild card. So me and my teammate at Ohio State, we lost in the finals of the NCAA tournament. Really tough match, 7-6, 6-7, 7-6, and the wild card only goes to the winning team. But the winning team had one American and one foreigner on it, so. I went out on tour right after that, and I won like 6 or 7 doubles tournaments in a row really quickly. And the USTA called and they said, hey, like, we're going to give you the wild card with the other American that you lost to from Tennessee to play. And I was like, all right, let's go. This is cool. So a few months later, I flew to New York and got to play. So that was really cool.
It's funny, too, that the scrutiny, the financial scrutiny is a little bit different now. the paydays are incredibly different.
Yes.
And it makes it a little bit easier for you to be a pro now than previous generations.
I would say, yeah, but it's still not where it needs to be. But I'll say this, the coolest part about the whole experience was after we lost, one of the officials said, if you'd like, you can take some of your prize money out from the bank. And I'm like, what do you mean the bank? There's in the US Open, they have a bank that you can go to and you can take out some of your prize money. So I went out there and I was like, well, my family's in town. Let's take out some cash. I'd never had any cash before. So we went out in New York City. We had a steak dinner. Me and my friend, we went out for a little bit, but it was great. So that was one of those like, oh my gosh, like I'll never do this again. So I might as well take cash out from the bank at the US Open.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So you can, I think all the Grand Slams, you're able to do something like that.
So a percentage of what your show.
Well, you can only take out X amount, but I think I won 8 or 9 grand. So I took out like 1.5 or 2. And we went up to New York City and had a nice steak dinner and didn't have to worry about anything for a night. So,
well, and then you, at that point, you don't have a coach or a manager that you're really paying fees to. That certainly helps because that's usually a part of it. The expense, all the expenses of a pro tennis player. How does that set up? Like agent, training coach, nutritionist. Yeah. How's that breakdown?
So it's expensive. So if you're going to do the ATP tour the right way, you need help. Like you need to have a coach. It's almost impossible to make it to the top without having someone, helping you along the way. So, if you're going to pay a coach, it's the going rate on the tour is $1,000 a week. So if that's just for practice, that's just for practicing.
Okay.
So if you're, say, like I lived in Tel Aviv, Israel, and I paid my coach $1,000 a week to practice there. And then if I wanted to bring him on the road, it was still $1,000, but then you have to pay for his flights, his food, his hotel, any expenses that he needs. So depending on where you go, you know, as the tournaments, as you get better and better, the tournaments you go to are further and further away, and you're spending more and more money. So that, you know, if you're just getting onto the tour and you have a coach, you're probably spending between 40 and 60 grand a year at the very least, if you're really cutting it tight. And then as you get better, you know, so these guys that are at playing Wimbledon right now are, they're spending between 250 and 500 grand a year just on a coach. Easy, like real easy. So that's the hidden thing about tennis, is it's expensive, not just for you to play, but it's also expensive for you to continue moving up the food chain. And that's where a lot of guys get stuck, because you don't get the chance to win a lot of money either. So really, if you're not in the top 100 in the world,
you're grinding.
Because if you're in the top 100 in the world, you make the main draw of the Grand Slams, and that's where you get your big checks.
Okay.
That's where you make
what's the field of 64 make at Wimbledon?
Well, it's 128 draw, so you get some qualifiers that come in. So the first, if you lose in the first round, I think the first round prize money's 80,000 pounds just for showing up and losing. So that's like a little under 100 grand before tax. You get taxed in the country that you play in.
Right.
So whatever the taxes aren't great in England. So you get dinged a little bit more. But whatever that is. So if you play all four of the Grand Slams, you're making, you know, 200 grand a year. That's if you're ranked in the top 100. That's guaranteeing you entrance into the main draw. So if you're 110 in the world, you don't get granted that main access, and you don't make that 200. You're not guaranteed to make that 200 grand. So that's the fine line with tennis, and that's probably the biggest issue with tennis, is that you, like for me, I was 300 in the world, and I was 25 grand in debt. You know, when I stopped, I got to the university in Kentucky, and I was teaching lessons and sending money back over to my coach overseas, paying him off, because that's what I had to do. But so that's the hard. You'd think like someone 300 in the world in their profession would be, you know, sitting pretty.
Yeah.
But in tennis, that's not how it works right now.
Is that partly why, especially on the women's side, that it's dad coaching, right? That it actually helps the process. It helps you financially, helps you with control.
Yeah. So my dad was my coach and my sister's coach and my brother's coach growing up. He was a tennis pro, so that helped a ton. All tennis, you got to have private lessons. You got to have the rackets and strings. You know, there's a lot of, shoes. You go through shoes like crazy. All the tennis parents out there are laughing for sure right now. But it's expensive. So if there's any way you can save money with tennis, it's a big deal. So we were super lucky to have our dad as a coach, and we didn't have to pay for clinics or lessons or, you know, we also got some free rackets and stuff because his position at the club. And so there was some, you know, it was better off for us than it is for most. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. Tennis is tough.
We're going to go to break. But coach, I want to ask how that translates and transfers to the Huskers.
Sure.
Right. Because Adidas is a big partner, but that doesn't necessarily fit all of the tennis needs. And maybe there's a way. Like, I don't know if there's a shoe deal, if you get shoe deals like you do in basketball. I don't know if you get tennis rackets like you do in some of the other sports for equipment. We talk to the bowlers, and they talk about all the different things that they walk up. And there's – Harrison, what was the number? How many bowling balls do they take?
Oh, my Lord.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I mean, they're bringing, I want to say, it's like a set of clubs. It's like 8 bowling balls are taken up on the planes. I mean, you got your driver, putter. Like, that's the way that.
Yeah.
Think about it almost. It's insane.
So we'll ask coach, when they hit the tour, how many rackets are you taking? What are you taking with you? And it's become a thing now on social media. Like, what's in the bag? So sure. We'll ask Coach Peter Cobalt what's in his bag and what's in his players' bags here on One-on-One. We'll be right back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. One-on-One with Huskers tennis head coach Peter Cobalt. And it is fascinating, right, that athletes, we do have a different sort of mentality about the things that we wear, the things that we carry. Like, do you have those things that, you know what, I have to have in my bag?
Yeah.
100%. What's in coach's bag? As a player, what did you carry with you? So when you went to the U.S. Open, what did you have in your bag?
You got everything in your bag, man. You got a couple spare changes of clothes, because you know tennis, you play outside, it's hot, especially in U.S. Open time. It's hot and humid. You go through a shirt after one set of the match, easy. So you got a couple shirts. You got a couple pairs of spare changes of clothes, some socks. You might have an extra pair of shoes if you sweat a lot on your feet. And then you got all your tennis equipment. You know, most guys, it's very rare to have less than four rackets, and usually they have three of them or four of them strung
for each different degrees
for each match. So, because you're going out there playing for a lot of these guys are going out there playing for big money. They're like, well, I'm not going to skimp on, stringing a racket. So a lot of the guys playing right now, they'll string, 12 rackets. Some of these guys have 8 to 12 rackets. They go out for Wimbledon, these matches, and they'll just change whenever it gets a little bit loose. Then the ball, that every time they hit the ball, it feels exactly the same. But you have string in there, you have grips in there, then you got your electrolytes and your Gatorade, like the power bars and stuff that you eat. And the health side of things in tennis, I think, was more prominent in sports before it was in a lot of other sports. Making sure you get Djokovic and some of these guys really redefined what it means to be an athlete, and a lot of it came from the nutritional side of things. I think tennis was one of the sports that really got that moving in all of sports. I think Djokovic really made a big deal of it, and now everyone eats super clean in the tennis world. People really look at you strange if you're going out and eating a hamburger every night. But what else is in the bag? I would say that's pretty close to everything, but everyone's a little bit different. But for me, you got to have – I wouldn't go on the court without having two or three rackets freshly strung, some grips, some of the nutritional stuff.
Do you string them yourself?
No, I wouldn't string them myself.
So you have to have somebody
– Yeah, you go there and you have to – it's like $20-25 a racket. So you get two or three done a match, and if you're going to go win a tournament, you got to win five matches. So you can do the math real quick. Just that bill alone, you're spending a couple $100 easy.
Well, what about your players?
Same. When we travel, we like to string our rackets here. We play Friday, Sunday. We like to string the rackets here for the first match, because that's less of a cost, $10 or whatever. But when we're there, we're there to win. So we're going to string our rackets.
Is there somebody on staff who?
Nope. So we don't travel with a stringing machine are these big clunky things.
Yeah.
So that's real tough to travel with. But so a lot of times the opponent's team's manager or the club that we'll play at will string them for us, and it's $20-25 a pop.
Oh, so that's we're risky. Spending... That's risky though.
Yeah, there's a little bit of most of the time you don't have to worry about anything, but there's every now and then where you're like, hey, you guys gonna string a racket, or what's going on here? So
rivalry weekend.
That's just college sports, and ideally you'd bring your someone that would string rackets, but at the end of the day, it's me, our assistant and our graduate assistant, and we're trying to do other things than stay up all night and string rackets. Save a little bit of money. So if we can give them to someone else's string, that's what we're going to do, so we can get ready to play the match the next day.
What's your travel roster look like? What does it look like when the Huskers go on the road? Sometimes you're on a bus, right? Sometimes, or do you fly everywhere that you go?
We fly the majority of the places that we go, just because there's not a lot of other men's tennis teams in our vicinity. you know, within 6 hours. That's kind of the range of when that's probably as far as we'll drive. And we just hop in some minivans. We usually don't do the bus. So we'll just rent a few minivans, the man vans.
You are much cooler than some.
Yeah.
No, my well, coach.
Yeah.
So oh, no.
Me and my assistant will just jump in a van and we'll load the guys in the back and we'll drive. So anything within 6 hours, you can make it. You can make it almost to University of Wisconsin and Illinois. We'll drive down to Tulsa and Oklahoma City, and you play Oklahoma State and some of those teams down there. But other than that, we're flying. So
how many trips do you get on the Big Bird, the Big Husker Bird?
Was that the private?
Yeah.
But a couple of years ago, we got one to Ohio State, Penn State, which was helpful because that's a beast of a trip. You got to fly into Pittsburgh or Philly and drive. That's not easy, but. They don't reserve that one for the tennis team too often.
Well, that's why I ask, Mr. Dannon,
which is okay. I'm all right. I'm not sitting here complaining at all, but I get it. But
they can get to it. Like, I mean, I understand that.
We are traveling a lot more, and there's with the way everything's changing with the conferences and the alignments and stuff. Travel's just tough. So, I mean, one of the things that Troy's asked us to do is to try and play more regionally if we can, but there's just not a lot of teams. You know, Iowa State, Iowa don't have a team. Minnesota doesn't have a team. You go to Kansas, doesn't have a team. Kansas State doesn't have a team. So those are a lot of,
and playing down doesn't really help you.
Well, it's kind of like football where you throw in a few of those games at the beginning of the year to, you know, just to get out some of the nerves and to, you know, to figure out kind of what your guys look like and stuff. You play a few doubleheaders at tennis. You'll play some doubleheaders, but you at the end of the day, you got to get above that 500 rule, that 500 line in order to make the tournament. So sometimes coaches will, you know, if you're ranked high enough, but you're under 500, you might throw in a few of these extra matches at the end of the year just to get a few wins so you can make the tournament. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into the scheduling nowadays. So there's more than, and then you got to get the other coach to agree, and then you got to find a weekend to play on, and then you got to make sure it fits in the budget. And then, you know, there's always someone on the team that complains that we're up too early for a flight or something. So you're like, hey man, like, we're doing our best here.
We do what we got to do. What's your thinking? What's the belief on playing local, smaller universities and programs?
I think it's great. I think, you know, we're lucky that we have, there's two programs up in Omaha. University of Omaha has a team, and so does Creighton. So we try and play those guys every year. I'd like it if we had like a Nebraska tennis day where everyone came down to Lincoln. I know Kearney has a team, a women's team. They just brought back their men's program. So trying to get the Lopers maybe to come into Lincoln. I don't know if we would play them, but to have like a big Nebraska tennis day. That's kind of one of my goals is trying to grow tennis here is to get, you know, people from Omaha down here, to get people out from Kearney and over here. To Lincoln and kind of just grow it slowly. So we're lucky that there's two programs up there that are good that want to play us. They're, you know, if we're losing to one of those teams year after year, then, you know, you might not be talking to me too much longer, but we're usually favored at it against both of them, but they're great tests. And it's, we try and play them at the beginning of the year and they kind of get us ready for what's coming. And both of their head coaches are young and hungry, and they want to win. So I think it's great, great for tennis here in the state. So
what's in your players' bag? So, you know, with all the goodies, and let's say that it's a one-off trip, so you're going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
What are your players carrying with them?
A lot of the same things. A lot of the same things. We usually, if it's a longer trip, we'll have them bring two pairs of shoes, because the guys just go through shoes like you won't believe. And then we have like a travel bag where we put all the string and the grips and the snacks and stuff like that, electrolytes, all the stuff that, so they don't have to worry too much about that. So they just bring their match clothes, their practice gear, and then whatever makes them, you know, comfortable when they travel. Some of them have like little notes that they have in their bag that they have that they can read on the changeover. Some of them, you know, they have like a little device for someone's bugging them. They'll bring like a stem device.
Yeah, there's always that. Are the surfaces pretty consistent?
No, that's the hardest part. Right? That's what people don't quite understand is like if the day before a football game, you know, games on Saturday, practice on Friday, you're really not doing anything. It's just a walkthrough. You go through the last minute films, but on what you're actually doing physically is very limited.
Yeah.
But in tennis, you know, if you're, we're an indoor team and our courts are, say we're courts are medium to medium fast, and then we go down south and we play at Arkansas and the weather's nice, we got to play outside. And then, you know, those courts are slow and bouncy. So you have one day basically to prepare for those conditions, which is hard. So, because you ultimately don't want to practice too long.
Because, but you also want to go places where you're familiar. You sure. know what kind of court. You know.
So this is also what's the scheduling part too, is you have to be smart with how you schedule. You don't want to go, you know, you don't want to go down in February to Florida and play outside in Florida, because that's just, you know, it's tough for anyone to go down there and do that. That time of year, you know, you haven't played outdoor tennis in I don't know how many months. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. But yeah, I mean, that's why for me, it's all coaching is all about toughness and resiliency and doing the basic things really, really well, because you're not going to go and travel to USC and UCLA, and you're not going to go out there and play your best, because they've practiced on those courts and those conditions thousands of hours, and we've got 2.5. Maybe before we play them. So,
and they have the advantage. I mean, whether the climate matters.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, it also matters when they come here too. So it goes both ways. You know, we beat USC at home this year, and then we were, you know, 5 minutes away from beating UCLA at home this year. That was the closest match we played out of all of them, I think. And we played a lot of close ones, but you know, we were right there in that, you know, both of those teams made a Sweet 16 or farther. I think UCLA made it one round farther, but yeah, it's just hard. So yeah, and then you're trying to travel and find flights that are affordable and hotels where, you know, that are nice, good, decent breakfasts and stuff. There's a lot that goes into it, and that's stuff that we try and take care of early and make sure that our guys are set up, but things happen, and that's just kind of how sports go. But
yeah, I mean, in the travel side of it, sometimes it depends on where you're going. The per diems that have to be paid are different per state. We in the CBA, we had to deal with that. Our per diems that we gave going to Minot, North Dakota, were different than the ones when we were going to Vegas, when we were going to Southern California. So you had to budget that in. The hotel, they give you some number of what you had to spend on hotels, which, if you've ever gone to Las Vegas or Los Angeles, you know that it costs a lot more than it does in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Sure. Look, the administration knows this. Like, Troy's done it. You know, we had our budgetary meetings, and he's kept us right where we need to be budget wise. You know, I don't think they made any cuts from a budget standpoint for any of the programs, which is awesome.
Say that again for folks.
I can't say for sure, but I don't think he made any budgetary cuts for any of the sports at Nebraska, which is truly phenomenal in a time like this. Like, and I think these are the little small things that, you know, everyone looks and says this or that, but like, those are massive things for a coach and for a program, just to know that it's not all just about football or volleyball here. Like, Troy wants to win in every sport, and he's made that clear to me and all the other head coaches, and he's backing it up with his actions. So he's given us all the resources. He's asking us to be as diligent with him as we can, and that's something that we have no problem doing, and our guys are extremely grateful. But yeah, in a time like this where you're seeing a lot of universities and conferences crumble, I think tennis now has the most cut programs since everything's changed. I think there's 17 tennis programs, men's and women's, that have been cut since this
revenue share
thing all started, which is the most and out of every sport. I think the next highest is gymnastics at 4. But so for Troy to double down on the men's and women's program from a financial standpoint, and I think every other program at the University of Nebraska, I think speaks volumes to where the university is and where we're trying to go. So
there's a lot to it, and again, you're right, the social media communication with athletic directors and the departments and the athletes of these cuts, it's been pretty scary in some places. The fact that it isn't happening here, shout out to Troy Dannon for pulling that. You mentioned a couple of things. We're going to go to break, but you mentioned a thing about nutrition, and you have international players, but you also have a new facility over here that feeds your athletes at maybe the highest level in the Big Ten. I want to talk about that. How do you handle that? Because dietary needs, nutrition of international players, a little different. They are used to different things, and it's pretty interesting sometimes to see how it plays out. And I'll ask you what the typical diet is for a Husker athlete, Husker tennis player. What are they consuming? You know, they're burning calories like and nobody short of swimmers and divers. So we'll talk about that with Coach Peter Cobalt when we come back.
You're listening to One-on-One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. Final segment with head coach Peter Cobalt, Huskers Tennis. And it's always informative and enlightening when you stop in. And my plan was to just ask you about sports in general. We weren't going to go in deep in tennis. But I always say there's no chance I can ask you everything I want to ask you, which is a sign here you should be on here more.
I'm here, baby.
You know, especially while we can. And I'm going to get you on for football. Like, I need the weekly Cobalt report on football.
That'd be a lot of fun. I love the crossovers from different sports and coaches.
Right.
Well, I'll give you a little sneak peek. When I was at Ohio State my senior year, I lived with the two captains of the Ohio State football team the year that they won the national title under Urban Meyer. So I got
who were those? Who were they?
Jeff Heirman. He played 5 years with the Denver Broncos, and then Evan Spencer. Tim Spencer's son.
Yeah.
Tim Spencer's a badass.
That's a family of dudes, man.
Evan was the wide receiver that threw that touchdown pass to Michael Thomas against Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. And then he was the one that made those blocks for Zeke Elliott to run.
Urban was my guy.
Urban's crazy.
Urban was – I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you – I tried to explain to people. So when I was in Utah, Urban – came in, he took over the program, and his first, and literally in the first group of media, he identified, look, I need to find a dude in the media that's going to be my guy. And so he asked me to host his weekly show. And so we had a little cafe right off of campus, and me and Urban would go, and Ron Boone, and we would sit and talk football every Friday morning. And it was amazing. But I saw his work. And that's when you know, oh, okay. There's a reason why he's Urban Meyer.
Right.
Like this is not just luck. No, this dude's a machine. He thinks differently. He works differently. And it was a process. As a matter of fact, he recruited a couple of my guys. So I left from Virginia coaching to go to Utah, and two of my players, AJ Alexander, ended up playing tight end for Urban in Ohio State. Matter of fact, he might have been there right about when you were there as well.
So
AJ Alexander, he blew out a knee. He started as a freshman in sophomore and blew out his knee, and that was the end of his career.
It's tough.
Nutrition for tennis players, specifically Husker college tennis players. What's the common thing that you say to your players about eating and refilling, fueling, not eat this, not that? You got the training table as well. What's the nutrition plan for Husker tennis?
The only rule I give the guys is 24 hours before the match, there's no dairy. Not allowed to have any dairy. I think the way the dairy's made here in the States isn't great, and it takes too long for your body to digest it correctly. So 24 hours before the match.
Cheese included.
No cheese, no sour cream, no yogurts, none of that. We can figure out other ways for them to get their protein. And
you are punching right in the gut, man.
Yeah, I know. Our Spanish boy, our Spanish boy on the team loves cheese. Same with the Argentinian boy, they love it. Yeah. And every time they're like, please, I hope he forgets this time. I'm like, nope. Hey, 24 hours, no cheese, boys. And they're like, oh my gosh, coach, are you serious? I'm like, but yeah, I'm serious. So I think those little things make a big difference. Did for me when I played, but I mean, we're so lucky to have the training table.
How good is the training table?
That's stuff that the guys don't have to pay for either, you know, and that's a huge recruiting tool. Monday through Friday, you eat as much as you want for free. And then the guys get money on the weekends. I think it's 80 or 90 bucks shopping. Yeah.
Husker bucks for the win.
Yeah. So, I mean, we recruit. We're like, look, you're not going to spend a dollar on food while you're here, no matter what size scholarship you're on. And you're eating at the nicest, you know, training training hall in the United States. It's the best that anyone can offer. And it goes a long way because tennis has a unique relationship with nutrition just because of, you know, it's so public in the tennis side. Djokovic, and like I was saying, there's so many athletes now that are so meticulous about their nutrition. So, you know, when they're these athletes in tennis that are 12, 13, 14 years old, where maybe in other sports, it's just like, let's just eat. Tennis, it's like, no, like, what are we eating? You know, do we have any allergies? You know, and then they come to the States and all the food, all the seed oils and stuff. So the training table, you can basically order what you want.
It's clean.
It's clean. There's no the avocado oil. They use olive oil. They don't use any of the seed oils and stuff that make you feel like crap after you eat it. So a lot of times it's harder when we leave. When we leave the facility and we have to go eat on the road, you're looking for places that are somewhat healthy and quick and affordable. So that's the tricky part. But yeah, so we're one of the only schools, if not the only school, that can sit down and be like, look, here's whatever you want to eat, whatever your diet fits, everything you're eating is clean too. It's whole foods. It's, you know, wild caught fish. It's, you know, steak from Nebraska. You know, come on now. It's you know, and the coaches somehow get in on it too. We get 25 free meals a semester, which is unbelievable too. So
that's crazy. It? You only get 25?
Hey, I'm not complaining.
Man.
I'm not complaining.
Well, we'll work on that.
No, I mean, it's good.
Tipsy Tainers, we're setting that up, man. Look, you. Look, the wrestlers are figuring it out. The swimmers and divers are figuring it out. Look, we can get the tennis team fed. We can get the tennis coaches fed.
No, it's the players get everything. Yeah. They get everything. So,
Coach, we will do it again as soon as you're available. Literally, all you have to do is say, hey, I'm open.
Let's do it.
Oh, Coach, thank you very much for what you do. Appreciate you all the time. I promise you. You're building this tennis thing here, and it's impressive to watch. And we're going to be rooting for you like crazy.
Thanks, DP. More work to do, baby.
Hey, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that next announcement.
Fingers crossed.
There we go. Don't go anywhere. Take a weeknight. Harrison Arns. He's got the crew. He's got a full crew back there to take you through till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whenever Harrison gets bored and decides to go home. But he will take you through ticket weeknights. Remember, Lincoln, take care of you. We love y'all, and we want you to remember that. See you tomorrow.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.